Meeting, or you don't know? Okay. All right. 10. Okay. Thank you. Great. Thanks. Good morning. Welcome to the August edition of the Morro Bay Promotions Committee. It looks like we have a full crew this week, which is really exciting. I'll go ahead and go to public comment. Looks like we've got some public comments this morning. No? Okay. Great.
Yeah. One of the members of our audience is someone that's working with TJA now.
Oh, okay.
And her name is Taya, and she's actually an intern with us, and she's going to be working directly on the count. She recently graduated from Arizona State. I'm sorry, I keep doing that to her, and that's just like having gone to USC, that's just like telling somebody that she just graduated from UCLA, University of Arizona. And she is interested in marketing and advertising, and she's going to be working with us. And so far, she's done a great job.
Great. Welcome.
She'll be helping us on the PR side.
Great. That's terrific. Okay, so moving on, we'll go to the approval of the minutes.
Well, if no one sees anything that they want changed or amended, I will move that we approve the minutes for the July 16th meeting.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, that motion carries. We'll move on to our monthly reports. Peter.
Well, good morning. We'll get right into it. There's always a lot of things going on and some interesting numbers here today. Start off with the promotions report, which starts with the phone calls. You can see it in July, 953. It's certainly up from last year. Getting a lot of calls, a lot of folks in the town, as you can see, 3,367 visitors. If you have any idea how many that is in the course of a month, the place is, with 1,000 phone calls, pretty amazing in there. If anyone has a chance, you can come into the visitor center and just see how active it is. A lot of things going on. A lot of visitors coming in from all over the place, actually. It's fun to see. A lot of activity in the harbor. I think that has a lot to do with people coming into, certainly into our city, and seeing all of the 40 or 50 sea lions and harbor seals laying on that barge out there. And I mean, it's really amazing. If you haven't had a chance to go down to the Embarcadero and maybe take a look at the our harbor, it's filled with life. It's a good time to go down and take a look. And just going right down the list here, emails answered with information is 84. Promotional information, again, total packs are 125 that were shipped out. Here's the amazing thing. It's travel 50. These are fulfillments. 502 fulfillments that were sent out. And actually there's more that came in yesterday. So there's a whole lot of activity coming on in the fulfillment areas. 800 numbers. It shows zero, but when it's this busy, the answer, it's difficult to go through the list of things that you have to ask when the telephone rings and you have 25 people sitting there. It's difficult to actually survey every single one of the phone calls that come in. So we may have missed a few here simply because the volume was so high. And it's hard for me to believe nobody uses our 800 number, because I know that's the fact. But that is the fact also, that usually we have something from Canada. So it's active. A lot of people in town. It's fun to see all of the folks coming in and enjoying our weather compared to theirs. You know, I'm sure most of them are coming in from the valley too, that are over 100, or at least in the high 90s.
So, Peter, all this information you get off of the telephone bill, whereas the other report with that stuff is stuff you're supposed to ask them, like with the AAA.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
This comes directly from the phone bill.
That's correct. Huh. That's correct. Yeah, and we do that, but I.
Right.
It's really right. Amazing how many people have been coming in there, and we're at the same, right? 180 a day,
that's cool.
150 a day. It's. With the phone calls in between. And, of course, we have the citywide yard sale coming up, so there's a lot of inquiries about that too. But not as many as last year. I think they've done a great job of diverting some of the calls by not collecting the maps at the center so much as two other outer locations, which I think is a really a great idea, because it's when people come in and they look for the map, you know, it kind of takes away from the visitors coming in and, you know, spending the time that you have to spend. Because you know, when you have a visitor come in, and what they say is, "I'm only here for 2 hours." You know, what can I do in 2 hours? Well, you got about 3 minutes to convince them that 2 hours is not enough. It should be 2 days, and so you need time to spend to do that. And our average time with a visitor, when we have that luxury of time, of course, everybody jumps in and does this all day long, is about 8 to 12 minutes. So there's a lot to be said. So any more questions about that?
Well, there was obviously a big increase in the central calls coming from Central California. Would you attribute that to the fireworks? Do you think a lot of those questions were about that, or maybe just our advertising changed?
And say again, I'm sorry.
Last year only 22% of the calls came from Central California and 46%
Oh, the breakdown for where they're coming from?
Yeah.
It's hard. It's really hard to say.
Okay. I was just wondering if you guys felt like there was like a flood of 4th of July calls.
There was a lot of phone calls.
Yeah.
There's no question about it with the 4th of July. And we had a lot of inquiries. And remember, we had advertisement in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
And so that what had a lot of...
Central Coast increased quite a bit, too.
True.
It was all because of the advertising.
Of course.
They just don't all of a sudden call. There's a reason why they call. You know, they pick up the line to call.
Yeah.
That's right. So a few things. I won't go through the whole list of things that we're doing at the visitor center and the chamber. But tonight is our monthly mixer. This month at the Bowie, 5:30 to 7:00. Brian has done a great job at the Bowie. He's a new owner, and if you have an opportunity, go say hi to him and take a look at the Bowie and what he's done to it. Very good. And I mentioned before, citywide yard sale this weekend. A lot of folks coming in. They did sell out. The maps should be available as of yesterday afternoon. Is that correct? Aren't they at your one of the locations? Is your store right? And that works really well because it diverts people from different areas. And then there's another outlet on Morro Bay Boulevard. Of course, we have our avocado festival coming up. Very excited about that. Lots of buzzing going on with the avocado. A lot of people calling in about it. It's at the Embarcadero, if you remember. It's in front of Rose's Landing, that parking lot, 714 Embarcadero. Great bands, salsa bands. We're connecting a lot of our communities together to participate in this. We're still going to have our guacamole contest that we have last year, a specialty contest with the avocado as a part of one of the dishes. So we have a comparison. We have great judges. We're finalizing all that.
And that's September
19th? It's September 19th, 11 to 6:30, 7. It's, you know, whenever we can finish up. We're looking for assistance that we had last year from the city and the city staff and local people that want to participate in this. It's really a lot of fun, but it's actually a lot of work, too, because there's a lot of folks that come, and I hope it's the same way. Today, I believe, is the and I'll kind of end at this is the clam chowder tasting contest today, and that's at 11:30, I believe, on the Chablis. So it should be a lot of fun there too.
Great. Anything else, Peter?
Lots of stuff, but that's good enough for now.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's go to our budget report.
I don't know offhand. I mean, I know that there's a lot of inquiries.
Yeah, my understanding from the last quarterly is the TOT is holding pretty steady. It's the sales tax where we had a pretty good hit, and that was probably because of a year ago that the gas prices have dropped tremendously. So that's where we're seeing the hit, but not very little on TOT.
Good. That's exciting.
Do we have any idea how much money is outstanding? Because, you know, it goes back to October, November.
I don't have the report right in front of me. What does it show? It doesn't show an amount? Right
no,
there?
It doesn't show an amount outstanding, but it shows.
The highest it was ever was $20,000, and I believe that's been substantially paid. I certainly can check on that and see. But we had one hotel that was outstanding, and I understand that they made a substantial payment just real recently. And that payment included the penalties and fines also.
There is a penalty.
Yeah.
On the BID collection, there's two asterisks, and it says four motels have not turned in receipts. Is that just specifically for the BID, or is that their okay.
So I wonder if that number is in line with what they had anticipated. I guess it must be with collections for the BID. So, okay. Well, if we don't have any other questions, John, did you?
What I was going to do today is the budget, as I looked at it, has not changed dramatically from the last meeting, so I wasn't going to go into that. But what I thought I would do is take that time, and I know we need to kind of move quickly. So I was going to show you the BID budget, which was approved at the last meeting.
Great.
And if my assistant over there, Bob, could. Bob, this is the spreadsheet.
Oh.
And maybe you could focus just on the kind of the left side. We could go through that.
So, John, have they chosen you as their agency, I presume?
Yes.
Excellent.
So, basically, and I think it's great, and it's a tribute to the BID committee that we've moved rather quickly on getting a budget approved. I worked with their budget subcommittee, which was Michelle and Joan and Peter, and we kind of ironed out a few things that we needed to do. And then once I found out the direction, then I came back with more detail as far as insertion dates, costs. It's a very conservative budget. We have a very large contingency fund, which this committee will all be aware of, you know, basically a fire sale category. And the reason for that larger category is that's where we can put some money and have that not committed in case for some reason our collections are way down from what we anticipated. So it's a very, very conservative budget as far as spending levels. And it also complements this budget completely. So basically, the strategy, as we talked about and as this committee approved several months ago, we were going to kind of front load our budget to assist the BID committee because they would not be able to get started till in the late fall, almost into the wintertime, which is basically how this budget works. So where we might have an ad in Bakersfield Life, they will then pick up that frequency as we move away from our budget. The same thing is true for public relations where we have a budget for PR. Well, they have a budget too, so we'll basically utilize the promotions budget and then move into the BID budget as we come along. But the PR really is one and the same. And then also as we look at creative, and I have some creative to show you today as part of the advertising agency report, the creative will be obviously worked for both committees. In other words, we're not going to do a separate ad for the BID. There may be an occasion where we might do that, but the overall branding campaign that we're going to be creating will be something that will complement this committee's efforts as well as the BID committee efforts. So, again, there's no duplication of costs and services and time. So, basically, as you see, we're in some of the very familiar publications that we're in for this committee. We didn't feel like that we needed to reinvent the wheel and go into brand new publications. The committee did look at various publications, not really being aware of what those costs were. We looked at AARP, which is $400,000 a page, Town and Country, and some other publications, and you know, kind of got that taken care of quickly. That although those are really good choices, they, you know, if we could run one ad with this budget in AARP. So Coastal Living Magazine is a new one.
Yeah.
Bakersfield Life, Travel 50 and Beyond. Peter already had a testament to the success of that magazine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that we're doing, as I should say as well, is that, and I was asked this actually by a couple of council members sometime in the past when the BID was being considered. They said, well, what would you do with the extra money? And I said, I don't mean to be simplistic, but for the most part, run larger ads because we're in the right publications and run more frequency. So that's really what this plan does. And there are, you know, quite a few new things, but we're certainly not going to throw out the old just because we've been in there and they've been successful. So Westways is a brand new one for us. We're going to go in there. National Geographic Traveler. These are regional publications. Best of the West. Some of you may have seen those. It's like an advertorial type of region, but we're going to be in the California. And these are the targeted emails that you're all aware of, where we can pick a particular target. And we go down to Orange County, Los Angeles, and we send them our own email. San Jose Mercury News, that's a brand new effort. We're going to do the same as we do with the LA Times to target the San Jose market. The BID committee wanted to do some Bay Area outreach, but we realized the Bay Area, just like Orange County, is huge. I mean, where do you go? Do you go to downtown San Francisco? Do you go to the outskirts? Do you go to the high-end areas? And we really felt like that, and they felt like the best target was San Jose, because San Jose is a little closer, very well-to-do. We felt like that would be the good market to experiment with. And then National Geographic, they're, as part of a print advertiser for value added, you're able to get involved in their email newsletter blasts. And these are people who have, just similar to our newsletter efforts, they've said, I want to have information from National Geographic Traveler, please send it to me. And so we're able to do those email blasts. Fromer's Business Travel, again, same company that facilitates those, does that as well. And then Sunset Magazine, we're going to be on the Sunset Magazine website. And this is a new venture for us. Sunset, up to this point, had not offered that. And because of the BID funds, we're able to now take part in that, because it's a $10,000 minimum to even participate. And then the social media, which is basically going to be things we've talked about in the past, the RSS feeds, the Facebook. If you go on, and we can certainly go on the website after this and look at, we've created a Facebook for Morro Bay. We have Flickr where people can submit their videos. So we're in the process of facilitating that now. And then the website design with a lodging emphasis, that we have money set aside to work off the same site. The BID committee did not want to develop a new website. And we're going to be talking about more about that in detail today, because the website is on the agenda for the BID committee. But the feeling was by that committee was, let's try not to reinvent the wheel. Let's keep the same site. We've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars telling people to come to morrobay.org. And I was glad that they chose to do that, because I think we'll save a lot of money and a lot of effort. We'll be able to complement our efforts, because those budgets could sort of intertwine. But we are going to have a major redesign of the site. And it's actually due, because that site it's been about 3 years visually that haven't changed it. But, of course, we've added a lot of new features, as you're all well aware, the photo contest gallery, the video, all those things. But this would be a new look for the site. And it would have a lodging emphasis. And one thing that we're considering as part of that is and this is another line item, but there's a booking service called Jackrabbit. And basically, you've probably all gone to, if you pick a destination and you go on their website, you can put in the dates that you want to travel to that site, and it will put up all the hotels that have availability in the city during that time. So the BID is considering having that service. That's a monthly fee, and having that right on the homepage to, again, facilitate the stakeholders and increase overnight stays. The LA Times travel, this is a new feature. The travel magazine we've been in before, but then right below that is the travel. This is the LA Times travel section on the website. So we're going to have a really good campaign there. And they have travel blogs that we can sponsor. There's a travel guide. And then they have geo-targeting, so we can actually pick where we want to have our ad appear before what particular person and demographic. And then the state of California website advertising, we're going to be doing that again. And TV, this is the Bakersfield, the affiliate in Bakersfield sponsoring their weather report, which we've done in the past. And then there's a public relations effort, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that right now. I hired a new person to assist me in PR, and her name is Lynn Latronica. She's actually She's going to be at the BID meeting to introduce herself there. I'll bring her by at some point to have you guys meet her as well. She's going to be writing press releases. As I introduced Taya, she's working with Lynn on facilitating a brand new media list, all updated with new contacts, and I have that list to show you today. And then just to give you background on Lynn, I was real happy to find her, because she worked for the county CVB as their communications manager about 10 years ago, and I contacted Johnny before I hired Lynn, And Johnny was real impressed with her and felt that she did a great job for her. She's also worked for the Wine Alliance up in Paso Robles, so she has that wine promotion experience, which I think all of us agree is something we can promote. And she worked 5 years at a public relations agency in Pismo Beach. And just a really great writer, also can write copy for me as well. So I think it was time to, we've been facilitating that in-house, and I wanted to have somebody that's specifically earmarked toward doing that. And so that's part of the PR. And then the booking agent is what I was just describing with Jackrabbit. And then event promotions, we co-op with the county. We earmark some dollars to do co-op advertising with the county CVB. And then trade show and public outreach. They're still considering what trade shows. But I think, Peter, we talked about certainly going to the ones that we've currently gone to, the Sunset Show, the LA Travel Show, and then also NTA is one that this committee went ahead and paid for the membership, as you recall, so they could go to that meeting. And so there's a plan to go to that. And I think the feeling was about the booth that they're going to look at that, but may not tackle that this year, that it's probably got another year's life. And Peter can still slop it around, even though it's really heavy and hard to set up. But it looks good still from a distance. So
from a distance.
Yeah. As long as we don't let people get too close to it. But but there is consideration of, you know, maybe redoing that. And that would be good for this committee, because then maybe we could share the dollars, or maybe they just might take that on. But I think that's something that we do need to consider for the future. And then, as I mentioned, a very large fire sale contingency. And I'll move this column over so you can see the dollars. But and then visitor fulfillment, money to go toward the chamber to do the added fulfillment. And then collateral materials, which is still to be determined. And then a small amount of money for operational expenses, which would be like mailing costs and things like that. Bob, if you could slide that over just a little bit. A little bit further. All the way over. So you can see that. You can see the numbers there, and I'll pass the spreadsheet around for all of you to take a look at.
So the total is like 480?
Yeah, 479.
Okay.
And again, keep in mind that almost 100,000 of that is housed in a contingency budget that probably wouldn't be utilized till we got further along in the process, just so we make sure that we're not spending money that we don't have.
John, I have a question about the the creative dollars you mentioned. You're going to create ads that will not duplicate.
Right.
Okay, now on the creative side, how are you going to allocate the costs to the promotions committee and what we place versus the BID? How are you going to?
Basically, what I was going to do was to try to utilize the dollars from both of those. Probably utilize the promotions.
Is there a
committee
formula you're going to use? Is it 50-50?
I was going to utilize the money from the promotions committee first, again, because we talked about sort of front-loading it. And then as that money begins to dwindle down, then tap into the BID money. Because I think the purposes are the same. I mean, the creative that we create is going to be 100% used by the promotions committee, as it's going to be 100% used by the BID. It'll just give us an opportunity to continue to develop new ads. So once the money runs out from the promotions committee, there'll be funds to continue to put new ads in for the promotions committee as well as the BID.
So it's going to be just one, eventually it's going to be just one pot of money,
right,
for expenditures divided between the hotel BID and the city's promotions,
right,
committee.
And it seemed like the easiest way to do it, because if I did start looking at percentages, I mean, I suppose I could, but it is really one and the same. I mean, it's the percentage is based on how much each puts into their budget for that. Same thing is true for public relations. The public relations, there is some money put in by the promotions committee, less, and then there's more money put in by the BID. And I'll pass these around and I get to my ad agency report. We wrote a press release for the Avocado Margarita Festival. We wrote a press release for the Photo Festival. We're also working on the media list, and that is going to be facilitated by the promotions committee. And then when that money becomes exhausted, then we'll move into the BID funds. Because the BID doesn't really have those funds yet to support that, yet we still need press releases for the Avocado Margarita Festival, the Photo Festival. And again, that's certainly your guys' call, but I thought that would be the easiest, simplest way to facilitate it. And I thought that would be okay, because we talked about front-loading this budget to support the BID effort.
So, John, how are you guys going to make sure that you don't overspend? I mean, that to me would be such a scary thing, because you don't know how much money you're going to get in I mean, obviously, you could just look at historics. I mean, are you basing these numbers off of last year?
Right. They're looking at very conservative collections of last year, and then I believe reducing that by
oh, good.
What we did is historically we figured, I think it was 400 and some thousand would have been historically what, and then they backed that off a full 100,000.
Oh, that's good. So you feel like you've got a good
And I think also their thinking was, as you remember, it goes from 3% to 2%. So if they kind of want to get used to the 2% is what's going to be after this year, what they will be collecting. So I think they kind of want to somewhat stick within that 2% budget, too.
Now, their money carries over to the next year, correct?
Exactly.
Where ours does not.
Correct.
So it behooves us to spend ours. And
yeah.
Well, that's probably another reason why I looked at spending these dollars, you know, prior to spending the BID, because we just need to be really conservative. And believe me, nobody wants to spend the money that's not there, because I'm spending it. Meetings on this. We actually had a special meeting to consider it. But we're able now, and this is a value for the promotions committee, we go into Sunset, and we only ran maybe 2 ads in the past, and now we run 6. We're able to get a much better rate. And the value added that we've been able to get because of the effort that we're doing is going to it's going to make this budget larger in the sense of what we can get from a value added. All of a sudden, we're, you know, gone from a very relatively small advertiser to a decent advertiser for some of these publications. So that's been helpful, and it really will help the city in the long run.
So how is this going to affect the promotions committee when we spend the money in 4 months and we still have, you know, 8 months left?
Well, I have not spent all the money in 4 months, so we still have...
I mean, do you think it's going to, like, take us, like, 6 months to spend our money?
No, I actually looked at it to where we will still have money in the spring to spend. And I'll bring, I don't have our budget, but I'll bring that. We can take a look at that again. But it was more front-loaded than it normally had been.
But it's not totally.
We're not out of money.
Okay, and so we're not
December.
Really, like, what we had is what we're keeping. We're not, like, based on this, we're not going to modify because we had already planned to front-load it.
Right.
So, okay.
Right. And we do have, I mean, we'll be, and also, I think that as we maybe run out of, or come close to running out of, the paid dollars, I mean, there's a lot we can do on the public relations side and event side, and that we've kind of talked about that involvement too. But no, I foresee, and then I think that I think the website's going to be something that all of us are going to have to discuss and talk about. And then the creative, and the way I looked at the creative, since both parties are really paying for it and utilizing it, I want to get the committee to approve the creative as well as then getting the BID to approve. Mm-hmm. So I'll move from this meeting. Hopefully with approval on some of the new things I showed, and then get them to approve, because really both parties need to prove it, because those are the ads that are going to be running for those campaigns. That's why the ads, I think, have to be pretty similar in nature.
I'm sorry, Bill, did you have...
No, John, I noticed the California Visitor's Guide isn't listed up there.
That's because I believe that we paid that, the city paid that effort.
Oh, okay. But we're still going to advertise in that.
Yes.
So I was curious, it seems like you have a lot of print and then internet, which, I mean, obviously I think the internet's great, and I think the print's great too, but why did you choose not to do more broadcast media?
That kind of came from the the BID committee. You know, we had the radio remotes, which we still have for the city, out of this budget. They felt like that that they did not see the return as far as overnight stays from that. So basically, again, we looked at, you know, the possibility of doing cable. That's still on the table. Radio's still on the table, but that's pretty much locked up into that contingency fund.
Okay.
And again, I think with the print's facilitated a lot of value added, and also the ability to stretch out our internet marketing campaign. But I would say this budget is based probably. More than half of the budget is for internet advertising, as this committee's directed. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons why the print budget is such, because it's expensive.
Sure.
And when we look at, you know, publications like Coastal Living and Sunset, we do really well with those. And then if you also consider Travel 50 and Beyond, where we ran a very small ad, we're running a full-page ad. And it'll be interesting to see what type of return we get. Obviously, if we don't get, and I don't think this will be the case or we wouldn't do it, but if we don't get the same kind of, if we don't get twice as much, obviously we'll go back to running those smaller ads. But it's going to, the whole thing about a larger ad is that now we're going to be able to tell a story as opposed to just really reminding people about ourselves and trying to get them to go to the website. And I'll show you the new creative that we've come up with for that.
And is there a plan for tracking it just to simply look at, you know?
That's on the agenda today, too, for the BID. And, you know, part of it, the tracking, one of the things that's great about the Internet advertising and the email campaigns, as you're all aware, it's very trackable. I mean, we know exactly how many were sent out, how many were opened, how many then went to our website. So that tracking mechanism will be in place. The same is true for looking at the different digital marketing that we're going to do on the websites. The print, as Peter has attested, I mean, there's quite a few of these publications like Sunset, Travel 15 and Beyond that have reader response cards, so we'll be able to know those. That is a bit deceiving, though, because more and more people, just like there's less people calling on the 800 number, there's less people circling those because they can just go to the website and get whatever we were going to send them. So it's not a perfect science, but there is a lot of trackability, certainly on the Internet side. And then, and again, most of the actually travel, the National Geographic Traveler and Frommer's, they both have reader response cards as well.
Great.
So we'll be able to track it that way. And then I worked with this copywriter before. He's in L.A., and his name is Ismail Ford, and he worked for Chiat Day and worked on Nissan, Visa, a lot of large national accounts, did some tourism, some wine advertising. And I've utilized him in the past, and he basically, with the car business going where it is, got laid off from Chiat Day. So he contacted me and was looking for some work and has decided that he will still stay freelance even once he gets a full-time gig down in L.A. But just to let you know, his resume is really extensive. He's won several Belding Awards, which is basically the equivalent of an Academy Award for advertising. And he's going to be working on this account as well. So some of the ideas that he collaborated with my marketing director on was the whole idea of what we really have to offer here. What, again, it gets back to the branding. What is our unique selling point that we have as a destination over our competitors? And basically, eco-friendly, ecological, economical. And so we're going to hit those three areas pretty hard. And then basically the copy reads, in Morro Bay, our respect for nature can be experienced through our fresh air, hiking trails, protected estuary, abundant wildlife, and pristine beaches. In fact, we treat our visitors, animals and humans alike, and with great care. That is why you can expect to superb accommodations, local wineries, fresh food, and so much more. It's all here, eco-natural area, discover your better nature in Morro Bay. And again, just kind of a brand new look for us, and this is what we can do with a full page ad.
Sorry, John, I think
I'm trying to read that. But I'll pass this around so everybody can see. And then the next one, Bob. So this is sort of kind of a fun, we wanted sort of, you know, again, more of a family looked at, and so it's play all day and into the night, Morro Bay, discover your better nature, and basically just showing that there's just a load of different activities that you can do, from wine tasting to hiking to golf, and again, part of the nature aspects of the community. And then basically, you know, spend your day fishing or kayaking along miles of beautiful unspoiled beaches.
Sorry.
That's good. Go hiking, biking, or horseback riding through a scenic natural playground. Test your skills on a spectacular seaside championship golf course. And when the sun sets, dine on fresh local seafood. Visit one of our lively taverns or simply take a moonlit walk on the beach. It's always a good time in Morro Bay. And again, there's a little message here about staying the night. You know, right. Subtly we're trying to get people to realize that you don't need to go home at 4 o'clock and go back to the valley. I mean, we want you to stay here or to go back to L.A. And so that's one of the reasons why the thing ended the night.
Very good.
And, of course, we need to fulfill that promise and stay open. at night.
That's what I was going to say. So what happens when the streets roll up at 5? Are they going to be disappointed?
This is an issue that I have brought up. I mean, there's a lot of things that we need to do from a product standpoint, but I'm comfortable that we can do that. Packages are a huge part of this whole effort, and I've expressed that to the BID committee, that the hotels have to step up and have to come up with packages and work with the restaurants. And I know his group's going to be facilitating that, but that's what people want. They want, if we're going to have a photography festival, they want a photography package that includes their admission and their lodging and some places to go for food. As we've seen, when we put that new feature, the itinerary, on our website, that became our number one choice, where people wanted to plan their itinerary in advance and know where they were going to stay and pick their restaurants. And, you know, the whole plan a trip thing has been really a success. So there's a little bit of work. And frankly, for this program to work to its highest degree, we need to facilitate that and give people reasons to stay. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, John, if you're wanting our comments on these or not. Mm-hmm. I love this ad, and I like the whole concept. The only thing that I get concerned about is that it doesn't necessarily speak to the brand of Morro Bay, which, I mean, to me is just the rock. You know, I think that if we could switch one of those photos out for a rock photo, just because there is so much recognition in
that. No, I think that's a good point.
One other comment.
And these are basically Corbis photos right now.
Yeah.
Because what I should have said, too, is we're planning on doing a whole photo shoot in Morro Bay.
We are.
And I've got the shot list I'll pass around. But what we have in Morro Bay, and it's great, but we have a ton of pictures of the rock.
But we don't have really any with people.
And so we're going to be doing some shooting, do some professional photography where we have people actually kayaking, picnicking, fishing, because we're really in need of those. And those will also be utilized for the redesign of the website.
Great.
So this,
and I think that's something we need to take a serious look at.
Right. No, I think that we have excellent events. And, again, that's really why I'm suggesting the whole idea of the packages, because if somebody's going to come for the Kite Festival and we have the Kite Festival landing page, and then there's three packages on that Kite Festival page about staying and dining, then it's going to just be that much more successful. We have great events now. We don't necessarily need to go out and reinvent a ton of new events. They all can be, I'm sure now they do produce overnight stays, but I think we can enhance those.
Oh, absolutely they do. For one thing, the parade starts so early in the morning, and a lot of the things that we're doing, you want to be there overnight to be there for the first part of that event.
Right.
I know that the photo expo that's coming up, we have the Chamber has contacted 6 travel writers from San Francisco that will be coming into Morro Bay prior to the expo, 2 days before. So they're going to come in, and we're going to take care of their lodging and their food and keep them here. They're all on assignment. They all have... they're all extremely well known, and they're coming here to write and photo and report. But we also invited them to be participating in the photo expo itself, which starts the day after the 23rd. It's the 21st, 22nd is when they're doing it for us and writing. And then the 23rd, 4th, and 5th is when the expo actually happens. They all wanted to stay, but it's at their expense. The number one thing that they said is, well, what kind of package do you have? You know, we'd like to have a couple of meals. We want to have a reasonably priced hotel, some activities. And they're extremely excited about this photo expo. And so that's what we're trying to do. So that I'm just trying to back up here what you're saying, John. It is the number one question that we get. Do you have packages? Gosh, it is so. It makes it so much easier when you're traveling.
And just to update on the photo expo, we're constantly trying to add more seminars and take sold out signs off of those, because the small seminars are filling up really quickly. And the George Lepp, I think we're about halfway to where we really want to be.
Good.
But that's pretty good considering it's still a ways off. But I think this is going to be a really great festival and a good event for us, and we're sort of learning as we go, but we've had really overwhelming response to it.
You know, John, along that note of the one-day festivals, events like the photography thing, the clientele they bring in is very good. I mean, from what I've seen, a very non-scientific study on the waterfront.
Right.
what they bring in is good. When people come for something like the Kite Festival, they don't want to drive home. They do spend the night. And then they have a day. And when we're offering packages and events, and our chamber is so accessible, they spend a day, and I think they're more likely to spend more money shopping and walking around.
Right.
And that increases our tax base. They're going to explore restaurants.
I agree.
I'm seeing a lot of people coming in. Those events, and maybe too, because those events don't compete with our local merchants. They don't have merchants at the event. Maybe that's why I'm seeing them more. Mm-hmm. But, those events are the ones that bring us business.
Good. Well, I think this comes from a charge, of the council some time ago that they wanted to see more events. And Peter's group stepped up and started producing those. And they're very, as everyone knows, very labor intensive, very difficult to put on. And I mean this sincerely, they do a great job. And I think it's going to be, again, a real important part of our marketing program. And again, now we have some more dollars to promote those events outside of the area, where again, if people are coming from afar, and that's going to be true for this photography festival, they are going to stay. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a great strategy.
But just one more comment about that is including in the package is what they really like to see, because we did a little survey on this, is are actually coupons for our local businesses. So they get a hotel, they get a restaurant, and they also get a package or a coupon book of the local merchants, so they go in and so that concept works really well.
Mm-hmm. Is there somebody on the BID that's going to be spearheading the concept of putting packages together? Or
we've talked about it. I mean, I know Michelle is always really, I don't want to volunteer her, but she's always stepped up whenever we've needed, like a overnight stay when we go to a trade show or, so... I think it collectively, I know Mike Casola, I mean, he does a lot of packaging with the Cliffs and some of the hotels and in Morro Bay that he has. So I think collectively that will work. And, mm-hmm. and I think as you get, three or four packages, other people will see the need and want to be competitive with those packages too. So hopefully it will grow that way. Mm-hmm. But it's something that I will continue to stress about how the importance of it is. And as Tracy said, I mean, it's not just for the hoteliers either. I mean, these packages can be utilized for the increased restaurant business, if there's a couponing or discounts associated with a particular event, even for a gallery. I mean, again, I don't, great service and accommodate them. And I think that's also true for our friends in the Valley. They feel like this is their second home, and we want to make them feel that way and have them feel welcome, that they're a local too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Have you looked, and I don't know about the photo and the bird festival, but I know the big conventions I used to get involved with, we always had a spouses package, because usually the husband was going or the wife was going, and so there was somebody in the motel roaming around all day. And so we used to offer a wife's shopping tour that included a bus ride, if there were, and all that, and that is, has that been thought out, or don't we get that kind of response?
No, I think that's a good idea. I know that, like, with the I can tell you from another event outside of Morro Bay, but I've been on the board for the film festival for a number of years, and one of the reasons why, aside from the fact that it's a unique selling point for that festival, we incorporated wine, was because there might be a spouse, husband or wife, that doesn't like movies and has to come along for this, one week long effort, but they might like wine tasting. So I think that is another idea where we can implement different kinds of things associated with the festival that may be totally unrelated to photography that they can do. So I think that's a good idea.
We actually did that with the car show this year with the treasure hunt, and it was a huge, huge success. It was.
A lot of work.
Oh, yeah. Always that.
Do you have more ads, John?
No, one more.
Oh, I like that.
So, again, the whole idea behind this whole campaign is to show that there is a multitude of things to do. It gets back to discover your better nature, that your discover your better nature may be as mild as literally sitting on a park bench and looking at the scenery as opposed to going kayaking or doing anything. But so basically the whole idea here is, Bob, if you could pull down just a little bit, I want to just talk about the headline. So it's basically a to-do again list. And this, if you keep in mind, too, that you're in a national publication like Coastal Living and you have the pretty pictures of the golf course, and this is going to create attention. It's going to be something different, so it'll stand out on, in the magazine. And basically, we're giving them their itinerary of what they could do in Morro Bay. And these pictures, again, are sort of positioned, although these might fit, you know, a little bit more because they're more directed toward the particular event. And this could be interchanged all the time. But it really tells people in a very simple way what they can experience when they come here.
Very nice.
I love this, Johnny. This is just what we do when we travel is make a list of what we liked and didn't like. But, you know, John, also on your list, this is exactly what I do when I go back to a place. You know, the art galleries now are staying open till 8 on the weekends, and we're trying to encourage more activities going on down the waterfront so that when people go out to dinner, there's something to do besides just go eat and go back to their hotel room. We're encouraging everybody to stay open until like Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays, and then close earlier on Sundays and the rest of the week. So I don't know, you know, if any evening activities go in on that, but...
No, I think that's good. In fact, that's probably another copy point for our end of the night, you know, ad as well.
I love this. I mean, this is just exactly what, you know, makes me go back to a place is a list of things I want to do again.
Well, and again, as we get into some of these new publications, I mean, they are literally not going to know anything about us, like Coastal Living and, you know, even Travel 50 and Beyond. There might be people who read that magazine and never got to the back of the magazine and looked at our little visitor directory. We're going to actually be inside the magazine. So, yeah, we're, and this came from the collaboration of the new copywriters, so some new, fresh look to it.
Very nice. Okay, what else is on your list, John?
Okay, let's see. Oh, I wanted to talk about the billboard.
Oh, what about this little... Do we need to look at that bill?
Oh, this is just... these are ads that we currently ran. This is a Winter Bird Festival ad. And I believe we ran this in... Bob, would you mind pulling up just a little bit? I want to see what's on the bottom here.
National Geographic.
Okay, so this is an ad that went to National Geographic Traveler. And basically, we just figured that, you know, we would promote an event in that publication to support the Winter Bird Festival, because there was a time when the Winter Bird Festival felt they didn't need any more support, but they started to see some dwindling numbers, so we wanted to try to give them a shot.
Great.
And so I'm trying to, let's see, I could talk about the reflective material. Would you like
to
report
great.
On
yeah.
that?
Yeah, you might as well go ahead and do that. It's under unfinished unfinished business. But
do you want me to just wait for that?
No, go ahead.
Okay.
Can you just clarify what sign we're talking about? Is it
for the billboard?
Yeah. Is it
it's the one coming into town.
Into
last 6 months, but and they don't facilitate that effort. And then I called the vinyl company that we normally deal with back east, and they do not do it. But I did find one source, and again, I think we probably have to, if we decided to go forward with this, obviously look at several different companies, but they assured me that this was pretty much the going rate. And it is rather expensive. It's about, I would say, close to $4,000 if we bled the ad all the way across. They gave me a quote for $3,100 if it was a non-bleed. My experience has been that it is pretty expensive, and also, again, it's sort of limited experience, but and it could, the technology could have changed. This is one thing we'd want to find out, how long it's supposed to last, but that reflective material eventually will dissipate. And so you have to consider the value of doing it and how long it's going to last. But it's the same kind of principle. A lot of it is used when you go on a runway of an airport. There's reflective material on this. When the pilot flies in, that almost looks like it's lit. And that's actually little glass beads that they put into the paint. So that's why it's sort of expensive to do. We really do it correctly. I think the only other thing that I would be cautious of is to make sure that the headlights will hit that board, and I'm not sure of that. Now, I
how
guess
would
we
test that? That would be a hard thing. Unless we like actually like put like maybe went up there and like nailed some reflectors to the board and then just paid attention.
Right.
Maybe I should drive over there.
But this is just one source. I can certainly spend more time with it. I know Bill, I think you looked into it too. Did you have?
I looked into the lighting.
Oh, okay. So
we have electricity out there.
No, we'd have to do solar, right?
No,
solar battery, solar.
Continue on with the lighting of it now?
Well, just real quick. So, John, the production for the vinyl is usually like $500, right? So this would take it from like $500 to $4,000.
Right.
So just so we all know, like, that's
and again,
more.
We don't have the BID, nor does the promotions committee have budgeted
budget.
Anything
oh,
to do.
Oh, look. Very good.
Anything to do.
Here's our billboard.
Any money attributed to doing the billboard. So if this is something we wanted to do, we probably needed to look at it for next year.
Okay. So what did you come up with?
I want to give this to Bob.
Sure.
In keeping with the green theme, I found this company in Florida that does billboards and various things like that with a solar system. I got a price for lighting a billboard 10 by 14, or no, 10 by 40. And they came back with a price. And to me, a billboard is no good to you if you don't use it to the maximum amount of time. If you're looking at it on an hourly basis and you're only getting 12 hours out of the day, then it's pretty expensive. This system I looked at was to come on at dusk and stay on for 6 hours, and that's a matter of battery supply. It also gives you a 3-5 day supply if you don't have any electricity. And it works out to being, if you wanted to pay it off in 1 year, it works out to $20.55 a day to light that for 6 hours a day. The total cost of material and freight is $5,500. And then I figured about $2,000 to light it up to install, which comes up with $7,500. And if you divide that into the 6 hours that you're going to get it, it's $20.55 a night. So, and that's prorating it over 1 year. If you were the owner, you would probably prorate it over 5 years or something like that. So the cost is, I think it's probably less than having power ran to the light. And it also gives us another place to advertise our green, because it's, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be. It also uses LEDs instead of light bulbs and all these kinds of things. I question, and the quote is for only 3 lights, and I question if those 3 lights would fill up that 40-foot board. So, you know, we might want to do – this was just, you know,
Did they say how much sun was needed to power?
No. No, but that was taken into consideration by looking at where we were in the county. And, you know, the photoelectric systems do generate power even on foggy days. So, you know, it's you don't really need a lot of sun on it, you know, but if you could get a 5-year lease, you could prorate it over 5 years, and it would be a lot cheaper.
Well, we can explore all that.
So, Pete, I'll give you all this information I have.
All right.
And if you need some help, why?
Excellent. I'll call you.
My opinion would certainly be that it would be better to light it than to use the reflective material.
I think so, too.
I mean, that just seems really
I think you would continue to replace the reflective material, and you would be nowhere ahead, whereas if you did the lighting, it obviously increased the value of the board. I like the idea from a PR standpoint about it being green. You could probably get some pretty good mileage out of that from a promotional standpoint. It's just a matter of where we find the dollars to do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, thanks for that.
This is their website.
Yeah, that's their website, and I have some prints of that. And then they've got, I mean, they've quoted a whole lot of figures and everything, you know, about hours and everything. I've got a whole big page of stuff at home, but I didn't feel it was worthwhile copying all that at this particular time, since we really don't have the money.
Great. Well, thanks you guys for looking into that. And I guess, John, if you could put that, like, I don't know if you have like an ongoing list, but like if you could put that so that we can consider that next year for our budget, and then
okay.
Peter, if you could look into the lease on the billboard
sure.
and see. I mean, gosh, we've had that for years, right? I mean, has it been like 10 years or something?
As far as I don't even have paperwork that goes beyond. I know it's been maybe 10 years.
Yeah. So, yeah. But I mean, I think that that's a valid point. We should. Who knows? Maybe they're making some, you know, changes in what they want to do. So.
I just had one other item, and
okay.
I'll just pass this out, and everybody can take a look at it. I do need this for the BID meeting next. So if everybody just maybe once they look at it, I can collect it from them. But these are the press releases for the. For the photo festival, and I won't go through and read them, but you can take a look at them. Just want to show that the work's been done, and then there's the release for the Avocado Margarita Festival, mm-hmm. and Peter's seen that. And then I'm going to send around just one copy of the shot list that we were talking about, and then finally you'll see, and I purposely took out the contact information because this is really for the protection of Morro Bay, all the contacts as far as the press. But you'll see the press release that we're now working off of. So when you see this press list, anticipate that we have all the editors' names, where to send the contact information. But I didn't want that to get out as far as it's kind of proprietary information as far as who the contacts are. It takes weeks to get that information. That concludes my report.
Okay. Great. Well, we'll go ahead and just peruse through these things, and then you'll collect them at the end of the meeting.
Okay.
Okay, so the Public Relations Subcommittee, I don't believe the Public Relations Committee met. No? Okay. The Website Subcommittee?
We had a meeting.
Great.
And the first thing I'd like to point out is I think we've got one of the better websites when it comes to trying to search and find things, and there are a lot of pluses to our website. I'd also like to point out that the e-newsletter, I received my copy July 28th, and I think if everybody on the board, if you're not signed up for the e-newsletter, you should certainly do it just to have some idea as to what appears in the newsletter. And I think it's a great newsletter.
Thank you.
Let's see.
If I could just comment on the newsletter, that is really one way that we help to facilitate the promotion of events, too. We're getting a pretty good base now of over 5,000 names, actually more than that now. And Bill had a great idea some time ago where we're taking those names and the chamber's supplying those to us. So when somebody sends an email on a request for information, we automatically put them on our e-newsletter list now. So we've been able to grow that list pretty substantially. And with the added effort of the email campaigns that we're going to do, the plan there is that when we do these email campaigns, and also on our banner ads, we're going to say click here and sign up for a free newsletter and win an overnight stay. You could win an overnight stay. So we'll increase the response level for people signing up for the newsletter doing that.
Great.
And then we discussed the homepage. One thing on the homepage, we have an ad for the Avocado Margarita Festival, but there's no learn more about it. And so there's no place that I could find where you knew where it was, what time it was, who was going to play, what the music is, you know, all this and that. So I felt that learn more needs to be on that avocado poster or on that avocado vision. Too many. And particularly, we've got YouTube. Isn't it YouTube here? It's up there about three times. We have it on the main picture there where you can go to YouTube, and then we have it over on the left-hand side, and then I believe it's also in the heading of video something or other. So I'm glad to hear that, John, that you're thinking about redoing this, because I really wonder, you know, what's the function of our webpage? It used to be to get people to stay in town, and stay do here. And now we're looking at all these things that I don't know if they do anything to keep people in town. In fact, I wonder if you go to YouTube and you start looking at all the things on YouTube, you know, something. You get away from the web page.
Yeah, that's what I question, John, too, that once you go to a YouTube or to some off away from our web page, the attention to Morro Bay is gone. They see a Morro Bay video, good, but then they see something else, and they go, and that's what surfing the web is. They go, and pretty soon they're very far removed from our web page.
What it is, though, too, is how you design it. If you design your website so that if you click on YouTube,
it stays within our web page.
Your website goes away, then yeah. But if you design it so that you go to YouTube exactly like Bob is showing us, then you click out of YouTube, then Morro Bay is back up. I think that even if you did get distracted, ultimately you're going to return.
And the one thing that this John's done to design this is you don't go someplace else. You can always back up and end up back on our homepage. But you can go 5, 6, 7, 8 pages down the stream. And then it takes you that long to get. And I think the Flickr, that's really an interesting web page. But to really get Morro Bay pictures, you have to go up to the search. It would be nice if the Morro Bay pictures were, it says photo Morro Bay, but those pictures, aren't too many of them are of Morro Bay.
Well, I think part
so,
of
so you know, and I don't want to criticize because I really all these have got some great things, but I'm beginning to wonder if we're not getting a little bit further away from the concept of what our web page was originally designed for.
Well, I think that you know, the reason for those pull downs is because, you know, it does help avoid the clutter, because if somebody's interested in that particular category, you know, then they can search that category. The whole idea of the Facebook and Flickr and all of those, that's really at its very infancy stage, because the way social media works is you have to sort of salt that, similar to what we had to do with the photo contest. Mm-hmm. We didn't have any photo entries till my employees and a few other friends started putting photographs on, and then people started feeling like they could come in. The whole social media part of it is that there is a huge group of people that love that and want to feel like, you know, it becomes sort of like the TripAdvisor type of thing where they're going in and it's something to get them to continue to come back to the site and feel like that this is a club. There are some downsides to it, and we have to keep really very tight control of it, because we have no control what people put on YouTube.
Right.
And
or your face or
Facebook, right?
Facebook.
And so as a municipality and as a destination, we just have to be, you know, concerned about that. But we can control what's on our website. Mm-hmm. When they leave and go to YouTube, the good news is that there's a place for them to, you know, look at the different scenery, see the different activities, and it doesn't cost us anything. And I can tell you that my family went to the Caribbean a couple of years ago, and I used YouTube quite a bit to find out what kind of activities I wanted to do and what places look like and the different places that I might want to go to when I was on this island. And it really became a good resource for me. But I understand what you're saying, Bill. I mean, I think that we have to look at, there is a time when you maybe have too much on the homepage where it becomes cluttered. But, and I think that part of this is that we're going to have to redesign it such that if we have that reservation booking system right on the homepage, it will be a predominant feature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I think the homepage will have to change. What we might do is, instead of having all those three, you know, Facebook, Flickr, YouTube, we might just have social media page or, you know, something like that, or a button where they would click or join our club or something like that, so that all that social media stuff is all kind of a separate entity.
Well, yeah, that was going to be one of the suggestions that I was going to make, that we somehow incorporate it into one click instead of and that's what I was glad to hear, that you were thinking about redesigning after 3 years.
It's, right. I think too that I will be honest with you, though. My goal is to, I think I compared it certainly. It's getting a little cluttered.
Aren't there statistics out there, too, that, like, I'm sure people have researched, like, how you use a website and, like, do people tend to go to the top for drop-downs or to the sidebar, and how many, like, click-throughs is too many? I mean, I don't know what your intentions are for hiring someone to redesign it, but if you could you know, find somebody who maybe had some of those. Because, I mean, we do have a lot on the homepage. But, I mean, it, I know that there's research about how to best design it.
Right. Well, I was going to utilize, and I brought Jeremy to the BID meeting. So I'm still looking at using Elements.
Yeah.
Because this whole platform is based on Elements. Mm-hmm. So
if we really
scrapped it, then we would have to go back and get all new software. And I think that Jeremy's company is capable of doing all those things. And we're looking at even different types of reporting statistics and all of that. So it's going to be a pretty significant change.
We were also going to suggest that everybody on the board look at the web page and spend some time looking at it to see if they have any corrections. And if the business owners have a web page of their own and they have a webmaster, that maybe we could get some ideas from other people, because I think we want to keep our web page on the cutting edge and up and going, but I don't think we want to clutter it up to the point where people go away and never come back.
Well, I think in the meantime, I can certainly take a look at it before we get to this redesign and just clean up the side there, because I think there is a way, like, as you know, as I look at it, I think we can certainly slim down the whole photo part of this, you know, because we've got photo contest, video. I think all that could probably go under one tile. It would just be photo interests or something like that, and then they would go to a page that would have all those different things. So that's something we can do right now. We have funds to do that. We can kind of clean up the page right now.
And then there was and even though this board doesn't have anything or doesn't have too much control over the calendar, the one thing we noticed on the calendar is it only is current. It goes from it ends December or ends in November, so the December events are not on the calendar. So there's nothing about the lighted boat parade or the lighting of the holiday tree. And likewise, we were under the impression that this was going to be a year-round calendar. And so January, February, March, April of 2010 are not listed on there. And I'm sure the Bird Festival has scheduled their event so that it could be listed on there. I'm sure the car show and probably the Kite Festival, has it been scheduled? And, you know, so I think we need, so that people that are planning next year have got some idea what they can do, and then they went to the Kite Festival this year, and they know it's going to be on the Kite Festival now. So I think we need to have the calendar, you know, a continuous running entity.
John, at one time we were going to do the 12 months and then drop the previous months, add the next month. So if it's February, you have February through February, March through March. So at least you have 12 months of events.
Well, Peter, if you could send me all the events, we'll make sure that happens.
And then there was something else, and this is just kind of a sidetrack. The Harbor Festival, in a little article that was in the paper, said that there was going to be a tall ship here during the Harbor Festival. To me, the tall ships were something that always attracted a lot of people. And if they're going to have a tall ship, then we should be looking at that and seeing if we can do something to advertise those tall ships, because the people from the valley come over here and stand in line to go on a tall ship. And so it's...
Well, I think that it's sort of, you know, garbage in, garbage out. So if I think that it's just... I'll make the call right now that anybody that has anything of value like that, they need to get me the information so I can get it on. And but I agree, tall ships are, you know, I think that's, again, a branding kind of for Morro Bay, and I think we can certainly do more of that. But I wasn't aware that they were going to have a tall ship.
Well, that was in the paper the other day, and I haven't talked to David. I don't know.
We can ask him today when we have him in our chowder.
Okay.
No, I think those are all good, all valid points. But I think, Peter, if you can give me the updated list of all the different events and dates, and we can, because we were doing that, and I think it's just a matter of getting the information, and once we have that, then we'll put it on. And we'll work on getting a landing page for the Avocado Margarita Festival.
If you're going to have an update on the web page, I would like to get involved with it if possible.
Okay. I think it would be good, and that's something we can bring up to the BID committee to have. How does that work? Can we have a representative from promotion?
Yes. I mean, from our meeting, I went through a long, extensive afternoon with Peter and with John to to get up to speed on exactly all the pull downs, and we had a long discussion on, you know, what can possibly work. And the main reason was for me to look from the league
time, you know, really analyzing the website, and I think it's really critical that we have that on a regular basis. So thank you for doing that. Okay, unfinished business review of the Morro Bay Tourism BID. We've talked about that a lot this meeting already. Is there anything that anyone needs to add or discuss? No? Okay, great. We also talked about the...
Let me ask a question. Yeah. Their meeting is always going to follow our meeting at 10 o'clock or 9:30 or what?
We hope to. I mean, that's our, from a staff standpoint, it certainly works best for us to do it that way, because it's all in the same day. We can kind of coordinate the agendas. You know, the main issue is making sure there's good communication so that there isn't any overlap. Everybody knows what everybody's doing. And in fact, I think it might behoove us at least twice a year to have joint meetings with them. So that would be probably once they get a little bit more familiar and what they're doing up and running, is to actually do a joint meeting with you guys.
And we've talked about that a lot. I mean, we would love to do that.
Yeah.
So
maybe quarterly.
Yeah.
Maybe twice a year.
Yeah, we would love to do that. So.
And I think too that it would be a value, and this would certainly have to take place later on down the line when we have more under our belts, but it'd be good to report to the council about how this is streamlined too, and that there is no duplication, because I know that was a concern of some and or all, and I think they would be assured that this is working really well and there is no duplication of staff time, of your time and my time, and so at some point that would probably would be good too, and that would probably be a good time when we have a joint meeting to have that discussion about it, what type of presentation we make to the council. And I don't think I would see it as a huge, you know, detailed thing, but just as an update.
Right.
I would add one thing under the discussion of the BID is that one of the things that we talked about is they want to make sure that they're communicating with all the stakeholders. So there is going to be a newsletter that's going to be sent out quarterly to kind of update all the different hoteliers on what's taking place, where the advertising's going. Again, a call for packaging and co-op at that point, but I think that was a good idea to have, make sure everybody in town that's part of this knows what's happening. So if they have an advertising budget, they can piggyback on some of the things that this committee is doing as well as the BID. So that's going to be like a quarterly newsletter that will go out, and we'll certainly put, you know, this committee on that list too.
Great. One of the questions I've had is who's facilitating all of, like, the operational things for the BID, like creating a newsletter and sending it out? I mean, is that all stuff that you're going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's great. Okay, so we talked about the lighting and reflective materials for the billboards. We're good with that. We have no new items, and so that leads us to discussion of new ideas. Did anyone have anything they wanted to bring up this meeting?
I just had one thought, and I know Susan will appreciate this. I went to a Volkswagen car show, and I would really like to just have it, you know, talk about it. And I know Peter really wants to do more and more events. And, but I still like the idea of the 60s, 70s kind of revival and have a Volkswagen show. I talked to somebody. I ran into somebody else who has a Volkswagen thing. And he told me that there's enough people in the Central Coast that could facilitate that kind of show. We'd probably have more buses than we would have things. But I think it would be really fun, and I think it should be done probably, you know, it might take a year to put this together, because even though that sounds like a long time, but I think it would be a great event. I think it would be an event that would be one of the goals of the BID, a multi-stay event. I think we could do like a three-day type of thing. I think the Volkswagen show would be just a part of that. You could have different, you know, music. I think one of the things, too, is you could spread that throughout the town, too, so everybody, North Morro Bay,
yeah,
the Embarcadero,
exactly.
everybody got some due, because, you know, you want to spread this around. And I know in Pismo Beach they have the Jubilee by the Sea, the jazz. And that's probably one of the most friendly events from a merchant standpoint, and because there's some events that really impact the downtown, like the car show in Pismo. And that's a kind of a controversial show sometimes, because some people do like their best day ever and some have their worst day. But what the thing that's good about the Jubilee is that it goes all throughout the town. And I think the 60s revival could do that too. And it's just it's something we've talked about, and I think I kind of said, well, it's hard to get the Volkswagen show, but I think we could probably start doing like an outreach on that. And that could be something maybe the BID, as they have funds to support events, maybe they would embrace that too. But again, it's sort of a branding for us, and I think it'd be really a neat event.
I think that would be a fabulous idea, and especially the part about putting it several different venues around town, because we watch everything from North Morro Bay. We watch everything that tends to happen down on the Embarcadero and up on Morro Bay Boulevard, because there's a concentration there. But if it was spread out so that people had the opportunity to see.
We're actually organizing the first chili cook-off and microbrewery festival in March.
I didn't tell you.
It is supposed to be just fantastic. So I'll give you more details. So we're just securing a venue right now.
Yeah, I don't think you can go wrong. Chili and beer.
What venues are we looking at here?
Actually, because it's pretty unique, the cook-off has to be outside. And then the tasting of the beer will be inside. So we're looking at the community center and utilizing the parking lot, and then utilizing for the cook-off, and then utilizing, I have to talk to Father Ed, but his parking lot for the parking. So, it's a combination of both.
Can you just park some VWs around it?
Why not? It'll be like a
wagon train. I'll be happy to drive
wagon train,
thing here.
It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect.
And it's red, too, so
I like it.
I know, John, that this is something you brought up before. So, I just feel like it's something that if you could kind of, just keep it in your mind.
Well, I want to contribute it to Susan, too, because it was really her idea. I had the Volkswagen part, but she came up with the 60s, 70s thing.
Right. That was your idea, huh?
There is a web page.
Is there not a local VW club that we could get?
Well, evidently there's a show that people go to in Solvang. Yeah. So I got the number of the person that I ran into and talked about this. So I can find out where those people come from to go to Solvang.
Well, because isn't there a little Porsche show or something that brings in cars to the...
Yeah, I'm sure we could do some sort of, we could find these people some way.
Yeah, it would just be nice, it would be really great if we could find somebody from a VW club who was like, yeah, that's a great idea, let me take that project on.
Well, there's a whole website that, in fact, this is how I found my car. It's called samba.com, and there's listings of Volkswagen things for sale throughout the United States. Just running a banner ad on something like that, I imagine you'd probably get a ton of people.
Yeah. Great, well, thanks for that. Does anyone have any other new ideas they would like to discuss? No? Okay. Do we have any declaration of future agenda items? I don't believe we had any this meeting. No? Okay. All right. I think that does it. So we'll go ahead and adjourn our meeting. Thanks, everybody. Don't forget to give the press releases back to John.
You'll see it again. Yeah, I think it'd be really fun.